Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Our first session, we begin to talk about kingdom. We talk that you can live in the kingdom, but just because you live in the kingdom doesn't mean that the kingdom lives in you. That God does not always bless by proximity. There are people that are close to Jesus that just because they're close doesn't mean that the power of God works within them. And when we talk about kingdom as it is in heaven, this is a portion of prayer that Jesus is pulling people's faith to a level to say that you don't have to live like the world lives. That we literally as believers, and I love this, that we play by a different set of rules. I remember when I was growing up and when my kids were growing up and we would play games together, it was hard to beat them when they were 4 or 5 because they would continuously change the rules so that they could win, or change the rules so that it would be beneficial to them and where they were on the board or perhaps where they were in the game. Well, I'm here to encourage you that God is the one who decides. And so in this life, God can change things for our benefit. And in the middle where it doesn't look like you're winning, God can step in because we are in the kingdom and we are about the king, and the kingdom lives, the king lives in us. It can change everything. We talked about going from the covenant available to the covenant pursued. And when we say covenant and kingdom, they're synonymous. Covenant of the Old Testament, kingdom of the New Testament. Covenant available, moving from kingdom available to kingdom pursued. Moving from kingdom pursued to kingdom activated. And from kingdom activated to kingdom manifested. Meaning what we preach, the promises of God that have been in front of us, the promises of God that have been imparted into our spirit are no longer just in our spirit, but we're holding them in our hands. We're seeing them in our families. We are literally living in the promises of God. Sooner or later, and this year is the year of vision, this year is the year of owning and possessing and taking ownership of what God has promised us. In this year, I believe that God is wanting you to hold and quit talking about what God is going to do and start talking about, look at what the Lord has done and look at what God has done through me and in me. The second session, we talked to too many believers get the cart before the horse. Once we get in the kingdom, we start looking for the what. We start looking for the blessing and the favor of God within the kingdom before we establish who is in the kingdom and the who of kingdom, meaning Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who get it twisted, and they want the blessing of God outside of a relationship with God. That they come to God when they need something. They come to God when they want something. But God doesn't want a relationship that the only time he sees you is when you are in dire straits and in desperate need. Sometimes God just wants to rendezvous and spend time with you because you love him and he loves you. Sometimes God just wants to shoot the breeze and talk about life with you, talk about what he's promised, what's going to happen. But sometimes he just wants to hear you talk about how good he is. Sometimes he wants to just hear about your day, about the vision that he has placed in your life. It's not always about the stuff. Kingdom is only kingdom because there is a king, and when you find the king, you will find a doorway into kingdom. The third session last week, we talked about that our relationship, we didn't get much past this, that our relationship gives us three things. The first thing, our relationship with the king in kingdom gives us is access. See, you can be in the kingdom and not have full access. I thank God that when I said yes to Jesus, when you said yes to Jesus, aren't you glad that we are not tied to a denomination that says that the only time that God can speak or move is in the church, because we would all be in trouble? But aren't you glad that on a Wednesday night, that you sitting at your job, you sitting on your sofa or at your kitchen table, that you can talk to God right now and he hears you? Aren't you glad that you have access tomorrow, that when the rest of the world is worried, when the rest of the world is wondering what's going to happen, you are safe and secure? Why? Because you understand, I have access to Jesus. I have access to God. I don't have to go through anybody else. Which brings us to this. The second thing that your relationship with Jesus, we're talking about the who now, your relationship with the king, your relationship with Jesus gives you authority within kingdom. First gives you access, now you have authority. Access means that everything is opened up to you. Authority now means that you can take things off the shelves of the warehouse that God has opened and you can put them in your life. Authority is the difference between surviving and thriving. People are in survival mode these last 2 or 3 weeks in our country. They are literally panicking and acting as if that we are going to run out. And every time that I watch our local news and every time that I hear our mayor speak, he is speaking from a place of annoyance. He's speaking from a place because I can see it all over his face. Quit hoarding the toilet paper. There is not a shortage of meat. There is not a shortage. But what happens is when people panic, they take everything and don't leave something for everybody. I am here to tell you, as a person of God, and who knew that when we started this series, when I would be preaching the fourth installment to somebody tonight, you have access to the kingdom. You are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't act like the rest of the world. You have access to God. This is not going to take you out. This is not going to slow you down. This is not going to kill you. You are going to outlive what you face today. But I am here to tell you, quit running around in survival mode and step in faith into thriving mode. I'm not surviving the virus. I'm thriving in the middle of all of the craziness. I'm thriving in my mental state. I'm not going to bed worried. I'm going to bed knowing that God, the God that puts me to sleep, is going to wake me back up. I'm going to bed knowing that when I wake up, that God's promises are still in effect. That the exceeding precious promises of God, 6,000 of them for kingdom believers, are still in effect for my life. I'm not surviving, I am thriving. Somebody say amen. Authority is the difference between being in the kingdom and receiving every benefit of the kingdom. There is a lot to be said. I just had a friend that got a great new job. And when he left his old job, I said, "Why did you leave your old job?" And he said, "One reason why I left my old job for this job, benefit." He said, "The benefits are better. It's not just that my pay, weekly pay, was bumped, but," he said, "I've got full health. I've got full dental. I've got a 401k," and begin to roll out the benefits. Some of us have stepped into the kingdom and we're still living like we used to live outside of the kingdom. Can I encourage you, if you did everything you can do to get in the kingdom, you need to take advantage of every benefit that Jesus died to give you. Every benefit. That's health. That's wealth. That's wisdom. That's peace. That's joy. And so in times like these, we find out if people have been faking it in the kingdom or whether they're real kingdom citizens. Because as for me and my house and Living Way Church, as it is in heaven, it is on this earth. We're not going, if it's not worrying them up there, we're not going to be worried about it down here. Let's talk about authority real quick. Matthew 8, one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. Matthew 8, verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him." Faith, Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." So we could have ended the story there, because he came for a servant to be healed. Jesus said, "I'm going to come and heal your servant." So I believe if Jesus would have went to the house, he would have healed the servant just like he said he was going to. But the centurion answered. The centurion was a Roman centurion who did not have a relationship with God, who did not follow Jesus like the disciples, who did not grow up in the synagogue, who had never read the Pentateuch, had never read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The centurion answered and said unto the Lord, "I am not worthy that you would come under my roof, but speak your word only, and my servant shall be healed." And he said this in verse 9, I love this, "For I am a man under authority." He said, "I understand the authority and the levels of leadership. And I understand who you are by what other people have said." That's why this is the time, church, to turn up our volume on Jesus. I just preached about it a couple weeks ago, to get your shout back, get your shout on. This is the time when we should be talking about the benefits of living for Jesus, the benefits of living for God. This is the time that we should be talking about Jesus, our healer, Jesus, our deliverer. This is the time where we can talk about Jesus, our peace. Come on, aren't you worried about this? Aren't you worried about that? You got coworkers making the same amount of money as you, and they're flipping their wig, and here you are, calm and collected, as cool as a cucumber, and they're saying, why are you able to act like that? And you can say, it's not me, it's the Jesus in me. I am under authority. I have authority. And when God said it, I believe it, and now I'm operating in it. Come on, we got to operate in it. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So he said, I'm under authority. I love this. And I am in authority over others. I'm under it and I'm over it. Everybody in life has somebody over them and somebody under them. And see, for us, we as believers have the greatest one over us. His name is Jesus. He is undefeated in this world. He has won every battle. He has won every war. He's never going to lose one. And so when we align ourselves with Jesus, it changes everything about our lives, our future, and what God has in front of us and every demon, every battle, every giant we will ever face. So he says, I'm under authority, and he said, I rule over others in authority. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To another, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this man's response to, I will go to your house, and he heard his response, you don't have to go. Send your word. I am a person of authority. He said, when he heard that, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. I love this. Jesus marveled because he found someone who understood kingdom and authority before the kingdom had been established. Come on now. He is leading these 12 disciples, and these 12 disciples are still looking for a castle that Jesus is going to live in. They're still looking for a government that Jesus is establishing here on earth, and James and John are arguing about who gets to sit where and who gets to rule where and whether they're going to be the vice president or whether they're going to be the ambassador, and they're arguing about all of this, and here comes a man who said, I'm not talking about the earthly kingdom, God. I know that if you send your word, come on, that's a kingdom thing. If you send your word, I know authority when I see it, and I recognize you as a person of authority. So when you speak it, and Jesus began to look around, and he said, are you sure, Judas, you didn't get this? Simon Peter, you didn't get this? Thomas, you didn't get this? You've been walking with me all of this time. Because they ignored what Jesus said, but Jesus was so great that here's a Roman centurion that recognized authority when it walked in the room. Can I tell you, as a believer, sitting where you're sitting right now, that you have access to authority. And when you have authority, when you walk into the room, everything should change. When you walk into the courtroom, everything should change. When you walk into the doctor's office, everything should change. When you walk into the schoolhouse, everything should change. Change. They say it about Bishop all the time. My friends, all of my friends, and I got a lot of friends that need to level up. So I'm helping them, doing my best to help them level up. And I'm sure people say that about me that are further and higher than I am right now, that Brandon needs to level up. But a lot of my friends say this about Bishop. They said, man, he has such a presence. I said, man, when your dad walks in the room, everything changes. What they're talking about is not the way he dresses only. Not the way that he looks, not because every hair is always in place since the beginning of time. What they're saying is we recognize a person of authority. What does the devil see when he sees you? When he sees you walking down the steps of your home, when he sees you getting in your car to leave your house, is he saying, oh, I can't wait to mess with them today? Or is he saying, that's a believer. That's a kingdom-minded person. That's a person that understands authority and walks in authority. And I'm going to still steer clear of their family this week because they're not to be messed with. They know how to call the power of God down. Come on now. They know how to operate in faith. They know how to call those things that are not as though they are. I want to encourage somebody. When was the last time that God marveled at your faith and at my authority? When was the last time that he told all of heaven, take notice of what's going on in San Antonio. Look at her. Look at how she's operating in authority. You say, do I have that? You have access to it, but it's time that you step into it. You have not because you ask not. Some of us need to get rid of that spirit of timidity, and we need to stand up as a lion of the tribe of Judah like Jesus. We need to open up our mouths and roar. We need to let the world know, I'm not going to take what the rest of the world is taking. I am a child of God. My house is covered. My marriage is anointed. My kids are blessed. And we're not going to live like everybody else. The Bible says he marveled because here was somebody who recognized kingdom before kingdom showed up. They say game recognized game. Game recognized game before there was a game. This centurion, just because of who Jesus was, it changed his whole approach. I believe that when he came, he said, if I can just get Jesus to my house, that'd be good. But in the presence of everyone, he said, there's something about the way that this man speaks that I don't even have to have him come to my house. I can just have him operate in the authority that he was sent in. Now, we weren't sent in authority, but when we were born again, we were born into authority. And it's just like the monarchy overseas where a king begats a king. Listen, he is the king of all the kings. He is capital K king, but he has called us to rule. He is our elder brother. And so as for me and you on this earth, we are little kings. We can live in authority. We can walk in authority. I encourage you, if you're sick right now, lay your hands on your own body. You don't have access to an elder, you are an elder. You don't have access to a preacher, you are a preacher. You don't have access to a prophet, you are a prophet. Lay your hands on your own body and take authority of what's happening in your life. He said, I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. You could also say, I haven't seen so great of authority. He's talking kingdom before kingdom happens, before kingdom comes. Verse 11, and I say unto you, many shall come from the east, west, shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. For what you have believed, it has been done for you. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. You know why we pray? I watched a knucklehead last night on social media talk about why we need to quit praying for healing because it's only something God did in the New Testament. We're talking about a believer. I had to turn him off, and I had to pray through because I wanted to respond so bad. But I'm here to tell you, listen, God is still in the miracle-working business. God is still in the healing business. I said that to say this. You say, I don't know what to do, Pastor, with everything that's going on in Washington, everything that's going on in our world. Pray. Because when you pray in authority, you can literally change the tide to our favor, to the favor of God, to the plan of God, to the will of God. What is God's will? That everybody be saved, that everybody be healed. That's not going to happen, but we can make a huge dent in what Corona has tried to do since January. We can make a huge dent in unemployment. We can make a huge dent in the opioid crisis. All we've got to do is begin to pray, operate, speak, walk in authority. I'm frustrated many times because things don't happen like I want them to happen because I believe that they should because I serve him and I walk in authority. If I'm walking in authority or pseudo-authority and nothing happens, it's never his fault. It's my fault. Meaning I'm talking a bigger game than I'm living. Meaning I'm not as close to the king in the kingdom as I thought I was. I knew that wouldn't preach real good on a Wednesday night, but we got to hear it. Let me go on real quick. Your relationship, this is the third thing, your relationship with Jesus first gives you access. Second, After it gives you access, it gives you authority. Third, your relationship with Jesus, the King, gives you anointing within the kingdom. I'm all about wisdom, and we need to adhere to guidelines, wisdom. And we even talked about those that have gathered here tonight, that we need to use social distancing and all of that. And I'm not here to negate that. I'm not here to hate on that. But what I'm here to tell you is that in my wisdom, I don't lose confidence that I am anointed and that you as a believer, you are anointed. That the Spirit of God that is in you first comes on you. And when it's on you, it protects you from things on the outside in. But when you get anointed from the inside out, it helps you from the inside out. Things cannot start internally that manifest externally. Judges chapter 16, always a sobering verse to read. Just give me a few more minutes tonight. And she said, Delilah said to Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And Samson awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and I will shake myself. And he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. The difference between gifts and anointings and callings, stay here all night, and this is not a series about that, but we can never mistake the Spirit of God with the gifts of God. If God lets you, if God causes you at birth to be able to sing like these amazing singers or play like these musicians, listen, you could go out like a lot of people have gone out. They started in the church, and now they're multimillionaires singing about the devil, singing about sex, singing about drugs. You say, well, why didn't God take that gift? Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, meaning he doesn't take away gifts. That's what you were born with. But I'm going to tell you what, the anointing is not forever. God anoints people for seasons. I believe that God can even anoint somebody who is not kingdom-minded to get the job done that is going to bless kingdom people. Come on now. That's what he did for Pharaoh. Pharaoh had God rub his thumb and his anointing, his supernatural. He put his thumb on Pharaoh's heart and said, let the people go because I'm leading them to a place. So I believe the anointing of God is not always forever, although it can be. And so Samson, the Bible says, he jumped up at the alarming call of Delilah. He left and he began to shake himself, not knowing that the presence of the Lord had departed. The moment that you remove yourself from the presence of the King, you can be kingdom talking all you want, but if you don't realize that your closeness and proximity to Jesus and Jesus to you and Jesus speaking into your life, when you understand that that is the only reason that you're anointed, you will do everything you can to keep the anointing in your life, because the anointing can do more for you in 5 seconds than you and I could do in 5 decades. When I leave the house, more than the opinion of man, more than the praises of my peers, more than for someone to say something good about me, I want God to say, here is a man of God that I've called, that I purpose, that is in the kingdom for this time. I'm going to place my anointing on him, because when he places his anointing on me, I'm telling everybody that's watching here tonight, when the anointing is placed on my life, it doesn't matter what sickness is around me, I know it can't come on me. When I'm anointed, I know that if something happens against me, it will not stand. Why? Because I'm anointed. God's got a plan for my life. God's got a future for my life. And I'm talking to somebody that's watching tonight, and you are disrupted by what everything, all the things that are going on around us, but I want to encourage you, don't forget that you are anointed. Don't forget, Samson, that you were anointed. And the moment that you realize that I'm not anointed anymore, you better backtrack, retrace your steps, get back to the kingdom, get back to the presence of Jesus, ask for forgiveness and say, God, do it again. You anointed me 10 years ago, do it again. You anointed me last month, do it again. Why? Because your kingdom, God, your presence, it gives me the breaks yokes. The anointing saves you heartache, saves you pain. I believe the anointing makes you slippery to the adversary. What he tries to get you with can't stick in your life. I wouldn't want to leave the house, my house, without the anointing. We're using wisdom every day, but I want you to remember that you're anointed. The anointing does something that Purell can't. The anointing does something that social distancing can't. The anointing does something that you don't even see sometimes in the spiritual. Creflo Dollar said it's God rubbing his super on our natural. It's God's ability being combined with our ability. Come on now. I want to be anointed. And when we say, as it is in heaven, it is here on earth, something special happens. While we get ready to close this service, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 16 very quickly. When Simon Peter is asked, who do men say that I am? Everybody's quiet. Everybody says, you're one of the prophets. That's what the men say. He says, who do you say that I am? Simon says this. He says, you are Jesus, Son of the living God. Jesus looks at Simon and says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for you did not hear this from man, but the Holy Ghost revealed this unto you. Came to me as Simon the waver, but you are now Peter the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The revelation of who Jesus is gives you power and authority over hell and over everything that the enemy has coming against you. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I hit you with this in closing. When we read Matthew 6 and Jesus is teaching them to pray, he says, on earth as it is in heaven. He said, we're going to make earth match what's happening in heaven. But here in Matthew 16, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He said, we're going to make heaven match what you do on earth. Come on now. Which is which? Jesus said, I'll make earth like heaven. Then Jesus said, I'll make heaven like earth. When you're in kingdom, earth and heaven become synonymous. Now don't get it twisted. We're going to a real place called heaven. It's going to be amazing. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. No wars, no famine, no crying. It's going to be an amazing place. All evil, it's not there. Satan doesn't have access. But I believe that a relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that the kingdom of God, I believe is Luke 17, does not come by observation. But I believe it comes to every faith-filled person that says, my relationship with the King gives me access to kingdom. That's why I think it's a lie from the pit of hell to say that Jesus doesn't heal. The lie from the pit of hell to say that Jesus doesn't deliver in this dispensation. I believe it is dangerous for us to say that we can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And this is what I always tell to the naysayers. How are you going to tell me that it's not available when I operate in it every day? How are you going to tell me that Jesus doesn't heal when I have three immediate family members that have kicked cancers tail like seven times? How are you going to tell me that Jesus doesn't heal? And you say, well, treatments and surgeries. What about the tumor behind Sister Becky's eye, Pastor Becky's eye that just disappeared? No surgery, no treatment, just boom, gone. How does that happen? Kingdom-minded people serving a king, understanding that they have access to the king. If you're in this place, I want you to stand on your feet. If you're watching by online, on your phone, on your laptop, your tablet, if you're a believer, I'm talking to you tonight. You have greater access, and I say this to me. I'm holding the microphone, but I say this to me. We have more access than we realize, and I know that that's true because if we realize the access that we have, we would have more. We would do more. So I'm talking to every believer, whether it's in this building, watching online. You have access. Take advantage of that access. Get all that you can from God. Don't live another night depressed when God's giving you joy. Don't live another night in fear when God's given you faith. Don't live another night asking the questions, what if it doesn't work? Start saying, when it does work, man, I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to shout his praises. I'm going to give him glory. So my first is to those believers that are ready to go further into kingdom. As it is in heaven, it will be on earth. But I'm talking to those of you in the power of the click of a mouse. Somebody invited you to watch us tonight. You're standing there, you're sitting there watching us, you're saying, I've never heard this before. Or maybe all of the world's calamities has brought you to a place where you're more focused on Jesus and the things of God than ever before. The greatest question that I could ever ask you is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to accept him into your life? Are you going to receive him as your Savior, as your Lord? Or are you just going to go ahead and watch Netflix, get on Disney Plus, continue on hoping everything gets right. I've got a blessed assurance. His name is Jesus. If this thing gets really bad, I still got Jesus. If this thing is over in 2 weeks and it gets really good, I still have Jesus. But at the most important point of my life, at the end of my life, I have Jesus. The difference between heaven and hell, light and darkness, eternity with him or eternity without him. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you right where you're viewing today to lift your hands, lift a hand. We're going to repeat this prayer, and I want you to say this prayer wherever you're viewing from tonight. Say, Jesus, I love you. I need you. I'm scared. There's things around me that I don't understand. So I look to you, Jesus. Tonight is my night. I believe that you are the Son of God, the only way to get to heaven. I've made mistakes. I failed. I have sinned. But tonight, you're washing me. You're forgiving me of every wrong thing that I've done. You're covering me with your blood. And right now, I ask you to be my Savior. I believe, I receive, and I confess that you are my Savior, and I will spend the rest of my days making you my Lord. You're my King. I'm in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. What that means is that you just received Jesus into your heart, into your life. It's the greatest step that you'll ever make on this earth, and now every step becomes important because every step you're going towards God's plan for your life or away from God's plan. Our prayer is that you'd come to Living Way.